Welcome, everyone, to Family Talk. It's a ministry of the James Dobson Family Institute, supported by listeners just like you. I'm Dr. James Dobson, and I'm thrilled that you've joined us.
Hello, and welcome to Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks for joining us, and thank you for making us a part of your day. You know, Family Talk is not possible without your prayers and your faithful financial support. To learn more, go to drjamesdobson.org. Well, on today's and tomorrow's broadcast, we have a powerful presentation for you from a guest speaker and a friend of our ministry. His name is Pastor Clayton King. He's an evangelist and the founder and president of Clayton King Ministries, as well as Crossroads Summer Camps and Crossroads Missions. He also serves as the teaching pastor at New Spring Church in Anderson, South Carolina. Clayton King is the author of 14 books, including Reborn from a couple of years ago, and also Overcome, Dying to Live, and True Love Project. Clayton and his wife, Sherry, have two sons, Jacob and Joseph, and they make their home in South Carolina. Today, we're going to hear part one of his presentation, which was given this past spring at the Men's Ignite Conference. In it, Clayton frames the chaotic world that we live in, and that men in particular have the responsibility to step up and step in. We are calling this presentation, Don't Miss Your Moment, because that is what Clayton King is exhorting Christian men to do today. Clayton really is an incredible speaker. He uses humor and passion and biblical truth to get his messages across. Today's program is based on a passage from Luke 24, and you can be sure that Clayton King does not stray away from using God's Word. Well, let's go there right now on today's edition of Family Talk.
What's up, Ignite? Let's go! Let's go! How many Pentecostals we got in the house? Really? We got some Pentecostal churches in the house? Do we have any Presbyterian churches in the house? They were predestined to be here. Do we have any United Methodist churches? All right, the last five United Methodists are here. Do we have any Baptist guys in the house? So I got to tell you before I get started, I was raised in the 1900s. And I was raised Southern Baptist, Presbyterian, and Pentecostal. My parents were Southern Baptist. My grandfather was Pentecostal and Church of God. And I went to a Presbyterian Christian school. You want to talk about being jacked up in religion? You know what it means to be Baptist, Presbyterian, and Pentecostal all at the same time, right? It means I was raised predestined to speak in tongues while eating fried chicken and drinking wine at an elders meeting. Come on, somebody, give it up. That's funny. I don't care who you are, that's funny. Well, I was hanging out backstage. I'd never met Ben Roethlisberger or Kurt Warner, and I had my picture made with them, and I told them that they didn't know this, but I was an above-average high school football player in 1991. And my whole life, I've dreamed about hitting an NFL quarterback, and I had my opportunity, and I want all of you men to know, I manned up and I chickened out. I did not hit either one of those guys. Oh my goodness, just really, really honored to be here. I was one of the campus pastors here at Liberty for about a decade. My son, JoJo, who is now 16, he's 6'3", plays basketball and football in South Carolina where I live. But at Winterfest, I believe it was 2010, my son JoJo gave his life to Jesus right across the way here at Vine Center. I've seen God do amazing things. It's good to be back. Lynchburg and Thomas Road feels like home to me. I am a pastor in South Carolina, and I'm celebrating my wedding anniversary today. Can y'all believe that? Today is my wedding anniversary. That's right. 22 years, 10 months, and 11 days today. That's how you do it, boys. Just keep up with it. Hey, let me do something. I want to be mindful of time. I brought a Bible with me. I don't know if any of you guys brought a Bible, but I'm a Bible guy, and I'm so old, I still like to read it on paper. I've got it on my phone. But if you have a Bible, I'm going to be reading a passage of Scripture from Luke chapter 24. You might want to go ahead and turn there, Luke chapter 24. The title of this message, when I speak at men's events like this, I always ask the Holy Spirit, show me what you want me to preach about. What do you want me to talk about, Lord? I don't want to just get up and say what I want to say. I'm not just phoning this one in. I've been in ministry for 35 years, and I've learned I can do a lot of things on my own that end in failure. But I have to completely depend on the Lord Jesus Christ if I want anything I do to make a real difference. And so I want to talk today from this, my favorite story in the Bible. This is literally my favorite Bible story because of what you'll see in just a minute. This is a message that means a lot to me because part of this is my testimony. So if you're taking notes, here's the title of the message. Don't miss your moment. Don't miss your moment. Any of y'all invested in Bitcoin? Can I see your hands if anybody is invested in Bitcoin? How many of you have no idea what Bitcoin is, no matter how much people talk about it? I had a guy tell me just 3 weeks ago that if I had invested $1 in Bitcoin a couple of years ago, I would now have over $100,000. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but at the end of the conversation, I said, it sounds like I missed my moment. And that was the moment where I was like, I'd been planning to preach on something else today. And I felt like the Holy Spirit paused me in that moment because he had a word for you men today. Let me go ahead and dive in. For some of you, you feel like your best days are behind you. For some of you, you feel like at this point in your life, you've made some mistakes, you've got some baggage, you're carrying some guilt, you're feeling some regret, and you wonder if you can ever really overcome those difficult things. And for some of you, when you lay your head on your pillow at night or when you wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning, there is a voice in your head that's not telling you how much God loves you or how anointed you are or how you can be who God has called you to be. There is a voice inside your head. And whether it's your own insecurity or whether it is the enemy himself, there is a voice that tells you you'll never amount to your fullest potential because of the things you've done in your past, the sins you've committed, and the mistakes you've made. In other words, I think for a lot of us, 4,000 plus men at Ignite, some of us feel like we've already missed our moment. And I want to tell you, no, you have not. You have not missed your moment. Because if you've got breath in your lungs, brother, God has a plan for your life. If you're still breathing, God is still moving in your life. Because if you're not dead, God is not done with you. I want to instill some hope in you guys today that there are moments in your life, and for some of you, the moment is going to be in the next 25 minutes. The biggest moment of your life will happen before we end this service. This is Luke chapter 24. I want to read this to you, and this happens in Luke's gospel. He records a story that happens the morning of the resurrection. This isn't Easter last year. This isn't Easter 500 years after Jesus was raised from the dead. This is Easter morning, the original, the OG of Easters. This is the real Easter morning. I want to read the story to you. I couldn't make this up. It says, now that same day, two of them were on their way to a village called Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. Side note, I've been to Emmaus. I'll go there again this fall. I've been to Israel 9 times. This is a real place. 7 miles was a common distance for people to walk in the first century. Together, it says, these two were discussing everything that had taken place. And while they were discussing and arguing, Jesus himself came near to them and began to walk along with them, but they were prevented from recognizing Jesus. And then Jesus asked this question, what is this dispute that the two of you are having with each other as you walk along? And then they stopped walking and looked discouraged. I'm going to pause right there. I'm going to set this up for you because I don't want you to miss this. Jesus has literally just raised from the dead. And I want to go on record and tell all of you men, I don't believe that this is figurative. I don't believe this is symbolic. I don't believe this is allegorical. I believe that Jesus Christ was dead. Dead, dead, dead. Not like Monty Python and the Holy Grail. Bring out your dead. I'm not dead yet. No, no. He was really dead. And after being really dead for 3 days, he defeated the greatest enemy that we will ever have to face so that we would not have to fear death. Jesus was really dead, and now Jesus is really alive. Tangibly, physically, realistically, he is alive. Now, I want to tell you, because my dad was, I grew up on a farm in South Carolina. My dad was an electric motor repairman with the textile industry, and we lived on a farm. I did not know that growing up on a farm and working 6 days a week was child abuse. I didn't know that. I just thought it was how you were raised, and I'm glad that my dad did it that way. But my dad was a businessman, and so my dad was always helping me, whether he knew it or not, learn how to be a good leader, learn how to maximize potential and not miss moments. It looks like Jesus has missed his moment on the original Easter. Here's why. Because if I was writing the script for Jesus on Resurrection Day, I would have had Jesus come out of the tomb, rip his shirt open, scream, "I'm back!" Go to the temple, ascend the steps in front of everybody in Jerusalem, and prove to everybody there that all the prophecies that had been written about him had just come true. That's what I would have done. I would have seen where the crowds were going to be. I would have tried to get in front of the crowds. I would have tried to maximize the moment. It looks like Jesus has missed the moment because Jesus does not go into downtown Jerusalem. Jesus does not walk up the southern steps to the Temple Mount. Jesus does not stand in front of the second temple that was rebuilt by Herod the Great and prove that he is alive. You know what he does? The total opposite of what I would have done. He goes and chases down two obscure people. One of them, we don't even know their name. Church tradition tells us that these two people were Cleopas and his wife. We don't know that it was definitely his wife, but we know that one of the two was named Cleopas because we're about to hear this in the scripture. And Jesus, instead of going and trying to look for the cameras, instead of tweeting, instead of posting on Instagram, instead of taking a picture and putting it on Facebook, what does he do? He goes and finds two confused, upset, depressed people because they're walking 7 miles on foot from Jerusalem back to their home in Emmaus. And they are disagreeing with each other about what just took place. They're upset because they thought Jesus was going to be raised from the dead, but they had watched him die and they had seen him be buried. But Jesus cared enough about these two broken, confused people to go after them.
Roger Marsh here, breaking in to remind you that you are listening to Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk, and we're hearing a presentation by Pastor Clayton King. Pastor King recently gave this powerful message to a room full of men at the Men's Ignite Conference. Let's jump back in right now here on Family Talk.
Men, I want to draw a parallel line to where you are right now. You're not here by accident. I was out at my book table. I met men from Virginia, West Virginia, Kentucky, Tennessee, Georgia, Pennsylvania. I think I even met a guy from Vermont. It is not an accident that God brought you men here. Jesus is pursuing you. The last 2 years have been tough. In the last 2 years, we've all been through some things. I lost three really good friends to COVID. When I say I lost them, I mean they died. I got COVID twice. My wife got COVID twice. My kids had COVID twice. Our church, like many other churches, shut down for a short period of time. The nonprofit ministry that my wife and I run called Crossroads lost 100% of our budget in 2020. I'm talking millions of dollars gone, evaporated, disappeared. 2021, we lost half our budget because of another outbreak of COVID. Had to cancel all of our camps, all of our conferences, all of our mission trips, most of my speaking events. And then on top of everything, this past October, my appendix burst. I had to wait in the emergency room for 8 hours while they found a bed for me. And while I'm waiting, I get sepsis. My body begins to feel sicker than I've ever felt in my life. And I went over the cliff and I thought I was gonna meet Jesus. I had to go back in the hospital and get 5 IV bags of antibiotics just to keep me alive. And now, coming out of the last 2 years, I am reading a story like this one from a different lens. I'm realizing that Jesus came to this man and his wife because he loved them. And men, I don't want you to miss this. This is not just a Bible study. I want to impart something to you today. I don't know what kind of dad you had or if you even had a dad at home. I don't know if your dad is alive or dead. I don't know if he was emotionally vulnerable with you or if he never even spoke a kind word to you. But I'm telling you that no matter how you related or did not relate to your dad growing up or what your relationship is like with your daddy right now, there is a heavenly Father who gave his son Jesus for you because he loved you and he still loves you today. And Jesus chased down Cleopas and his wife because he knew they were frustrated. He knew that they were confused. He knew that they had some questions that needed to be answered. But when Jesus appears, they don't know who he is. The Bible says they were kept from recognizing him. I don't know if any of y'all ever had that happen. I just got a new phone. I got the iPhone Pro Max 13 because I'm a Christian. And some of y'all have Samsungs, and I'm praying for your soul. And you can repent today and give your life to Christ. But the other day I was, because I'm an evangelist and a pastor, and I was going somewhere to preach and I had to catch a flight, and I'm running through the house. I'm like, who took my phone? Who has my phone? I'm accusing my wife. Did you take my phone? She's like, I never touch your phone. I'm accusing my children. Did y'all touch my phone? They're like, Daddy, we have phones. I'm like, yeah, I know. I pay for them. Who hid my phone? And I'm literally screaming, who hid my phone? And my son just pointed, because I'm holding my phone in my hand while I'm rushing out the door trying to make a flight. It was right there and I didn't recognize it. That's what's happening right here. Jesus is right there with them and they don't know it's Jesus. I've got a friend a few years ago was preaching at a big conference in Australia. He was backstage with the worship band and some of the other speakers, and the pastor of the church is introducing him to all these people from all over Australia and Great Britain and America. And he's like, and I'm getting ready to walk out to preach, Clayton, and the pastor introduces me to some random girl backstage, and he goes, hey, this is Carrie. She's from America too. And she goes, oh, I'm Carrie. What's your name? And they chatted for a second, and then he was like, but I gotta go preach. So he goes out to preach. He finishes preaching. Pastor's driving him back to the hotel after the sermon, and the pastor goes, what was it like tonight to meet a world famous singer? And my buddy goes, I don't know, what was it like? Who did I meet tonight that was world famous? And the pastor was like, Carrie. He's like, Carrie who? What are you talking about? He goes, come on, man, for real? Carrie, the blonde, backstage? You didn't know who that was? He's like, no, I met a lot of people tonight. He goes, yeah, but you only met one, Carrie. Because I turned my feeling to the side of that pretty little souped up four-wheel drive, carved my name into his leather seats. I took a Louisville Slugger to both headlights. Carrie Underwood, you just met Carrie Underwood. And my friend was like, you could have told me her last name. Had no clue. He met a world-famous singer. Had no idea who it is. Cleopas and his friend are literally talking about Jesus. And boom, there's Jesus. The story gets so much better, guys. I love the Bible. Verse 18, then one of them named Cleopas answered Jesus. This is hilarious. Are you only a visitor in Jerusalem who doesn't know the things that have happened there in these days? And Jesus goes, sorry, I snort sometimes. What things? What things? Jesus acts like this is the ultimate pump fake. Talk about poker face. What things have happened here in Jerusalem? So they said to him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. And how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we were hoping that he was the one that was going to redeem Israel. And besides all of this, today is the third day since these things have happened. And on top of all of that, some women from our group astounded us. They arrived early at the tomb, and when they didn't find his body, they came and reported all they had seen in a vision of angels who said that Jesus was alive. Some of those were with us, and they went to the tomb and found the tomb empty, just like the women said. These guys have no idea what they're doing. They are preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ to Jesus Christ. And ironically enough, I know this is a men's conference, but the first people to ever proclaim the resurrection were women. Women went to the tomb. The men are hiding out in the upper room, afraid Rome's gonna come and get them too. The women are like, no, I'm nosy. I wanna see what's going on. I wanna see it for myself. And then I'm gonna tell everybody about it and call it a prayer request. Oh, y'all married to one too, okay. I love the fact that women were bold enough to go to the tomb. Women were bold enough to risk their safety. Women went back and reported to everybody, Jesus is really alive. And now Cleopas and his companion, probably his wife, are walking along with Jesus. And then listen to how Jesus responds to them before the story wraps up. Jesus said to them, how foolish and slow you are to believe all the things that have been spoken. Wasn't it necessary for the Messiah to suffer these things and enter into his glory? And then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, Jesus interpreted for them all the things concerning him written in the scriptures. Okay, so this morning I'm standing out there at my book table. I'm an author. I just turned in my 18th book this past week. I've got my 17th book here with me today called Reborn. And a guy walks up to my table, picks up my book. I'm standing back there. I was texting my wife. He picks it up and he goes, is this book any good? I'm like, sure is. He goes, huh, can you tell me about it? And I'm like, I told him a few things. He goes, huh, who is Clayton King? I'm like, well, he's the author. He goes, I've heard of him. Is he any good? I'm like, nope. It's terrible. So then he pays me, he gives me $20 for the book, and I'm like, you want me to sign it? He goes, why would I want you to sign it? I'm like, I wrote it. He goes, are you Clayton King? All my life, want to fight about it? That happened right out there. These guys have no idea. This is the ultimate Jesus juke. Like, this is the ultimate. They get a Bible study from the man that wrote the Bible.
You've been listening to Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Roger Marsh, and that was part one of a special presentation by Pastor Clayton King. Now, if you missed any part of today's broadcast, go to drjamesdobson.org/Family Talk. And make sure you join us again tomorrow when you'll hear the conclusion of Pastor King's inspirational presentation. Hey, did you know that you can also email our team with any questions you have about today's program or Family Talk in general or the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute? Just write to us at constituentcare@drjamesdobson.org. Once again, that email address is constituentcare@drjamesdobson.org. And as always, thank you so much for your prayers and your faithful financial support. This is your ministry, and it's because of you that we remain on the air. It's also because of your generosity that we can continue helping families to flourish. Remember, you can donate securely online when you go to drjamesdobson.org, or you can give a gift over the phone when you call 877-732-6825. And keep in mind, you can also send your tax-deductible donation through the U.S. mail. Our ministry mailing address is the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute, P.O. Box 39000, Colorado Springs, Colorado, the zip code 80949. Keep that ministry mailing address handy. It's the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute, P.O. Box 39000, Colorado Springs, Colorado, the zip code 80949. Well, for all of us here at the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute here in Colorado Springs, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening today, and be sure to join us again next time right here for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
This has been a presentation of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute.